So let's finish out looking at one more case, another patient who actually was responding to erdafitinib as well. But geez, the COVID situation is such a compelling thing to talk about, particularly in areas where it's a problem like New York. What happened with this patient, Anastasia?
So this patient is a 63-year-old gentleman who initially had non-muscle invasive disease, received BCG, and eventually developed muscle invasive disease. He underwent cystectomy and shortly after developed metastatic disease to the lung. We gave him first-line chemotherapy. He had one cycle and unfortunately did not respond. Of note is that he had FGFR3 mutation, therefore erdafitinib was a potential line. But as a second line, we gave him pembrolizumab. He received three cycles, again, had progression of disease. He did have a response to erdafitinib, but had a few GI toxicities. He had mucositis, diarrhea, nausea. We did end up dose reducing him from 8 to 6 milligrams. And even though he was responding to it, he did not want to proceed and restart the medication even at a lower dose. And when we did see him last in clinic was when we were planning on starting enfortumab. When he came to us, he had low-grade temperature, cough, but he did have cough before. He did have metastatic disease to the lung. He had weakness. He was in renal failure, and we wanted to admit him right away. But because of the pandemic, he did not want to be admitted. He did not want to seek further care. He wanted to be at home. He was hoping that things are going to get better. Mm. We did test him during that clinic visit for COVID. We did infectious workup, and unfortunately, he was COVID-19 positive. And we recommended admission for him, and he didn't believe that he contracted COVID because he was on strict self-quarantine at home, and he just didn't believe it's happening to him. So unfortunately, he went back to the hospital when he was very, very sick and died from COVID.
Arjun, any comments about the last couple of months in New York?
It's been very, very tough. I've lost a few of my patients as well to COVID. And what we have learned, you know, and not surprisingly, that, you know, patients with cancer are multiple times more likely to not only develop complications from COVID, but they're also more likely to be intubated and hospitalized and ultimately pass from virus. And so it's a delicate balance of trying to make sure we shepherd our patients through cancer treatment, bring them in for visits when it's appropriate, keep them away from the public and any at-risk interactions as much as we can. And so it's a very delicate tight wire that we're walking here to try to get our patients through this. And the problem is that obviously the pandemic is not over. Risk is less now, but it's not zero. And without a vaccine, it's going to be a tough year.
Susan, any comments about managing patients in the era of social distancing? We're seeing all over the country, not just in centers or areas where there are a lot of cases, movements towards telemedicine. How are you trying to protect your patients now, Susan? How do you find interacting with patients on telemedicine?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Having done phone triage for many years and actually having done phone medicine for many years by answering phone calls, I'm finding it comes natural to me. It's less natural to my physician colleagues who are not used to going through med lists and doing all these things, you know, on the phone while they're trying to sort out what's going on. And, you know, I feel good that I can sometimes keep people away instead of coming in and kind of spreading out visits and saying, you know, okay, well, I'm going to see you. I mean, certainly, you know, in other disease sites like prostate cancer, you know, you can try and keep people away for longer periods of time. In my urothelial population, if they're on active treatment, the difficult thing for people is not bringing family members with them to the center because no visitors are allowed. I have almost 90% of the time, I have people call their spouse while they're in my office, you know, and I have them on either regular phone or FaceTiming while we're having our office visit. And I find it also just takes a whole lot more time because I'm calling more people and I'm looking at schedules weeks ahead to try and say, who can I put off, who can I not put off, and spending so much time doing that. And then you're calling patients to say, I want to do a phone visit, but it has to be within my, so I'm calling them twice. You know, there's just a lot of that. It's worrisome.
So thanks so much to the faculty, and thank you all for attending.